Testing, testing. Okay, I am here and I am heard, it looks like. I was testing because yesterday at our Numerology Academy call, which hopefully you have listened to, we had a little bit of a voice malfunction. So anyway, welcome, welcome. This is Tanya Gabrielle, and this is our Future Forecast Formula monthly support call for May 2014. And because we had that little snafu yesterday, I'm going to actually go over what I was going to, you know, what I was hoping to share with Numerology Academy yesterday, but due to the snafu was not shared. So I will now let you know more about this Mars Direct event, which just happened literally a few hours ago, late yesterday, May 19th and early May 20th. For Europe, Asia, and Africa. So I'm going to reiterate this because it's important for all of us in terms of our energy reserves, because many people have been feeling a slowing down of energy, and this is a really, really exciting time because Mars, which hasn't been in, you know, retrograde in Libra for a long, long time, is just ending this event now with the final direct movement for the last few weeks of the 7 month visitation in Libra. And because Mars in Libra is so important due to the obvious Mars-Venus connection, it really does trigger us in a deep way. And it happened literally right during that powerful Mars-Uranus-Pluto-Jupiter grand square in the cardinal signs in April. So not only was Mars in its seven-month sojourn of Libra during that time in the cardinal signs, but it also joined that tremendous cardinal cross. So it really has been a tremendous time of shifting our focus, our energy, our attention, our activity, right? So now what I want to do to start off this call before I get to one of the questions that came in by email is I wanted to look at some specific numbers, and I want you in Forecast Formula to look at these placements in your astrology chart. So first of all, Mars went direct again at on the 19th here in the Americas, and that number 19 was activated several times. So even if you are not in this part of the world, the number 19 was activated not only for the date for part of the world, but also by the fact that Saturn and Venus were at 19 degrees when this happened. Venus being very, very important because Venus is currently in Mars's home sign of Aries. So this is literally the other side of Libra where Mars is right now is Aries, of course. It's the opposite sign. And Mars is in the home sign of Venus. You know, because Venus rules Libra and Taurus. So we have a cross-correlation again here, what I call a reverse mirroring in the planets. I've used that reverse mirroring term in numerology when we have, for example, the number 31 and 13. So 3-1 and 1-3 are mirroring each other, but in a reverse, which creates a very powerful effect. Well, now we're having the same thing with Mars in Libra, which is Venus's home sign, and Venus in Aries, which is Mars's home sign. And they are triggering each other in many ways. And so when this direct event happened, this movement, when Mars stationed and then moved direct again, there were two important numbers that were activated, and they tie into the whole storyline here, which is the storyline of Mars-Venus, male, female, feminine, masculine, yin-yang balance, which translates not only to inner balance, but our intimate relationships as well. So let's look at the number 19 first, because it contains the number 1 and 9, the beginning number and the end number in the single digits. So it definitely signifies a turning point, a shift. And in the ancient Chaldean numerology, the number 19 was called the Prince of Heaven number. So it does signify that actual male energy, the drive, the number one, 19 reduces to one. So there is a definite drive there for, getting ahead, moving ahead. And when you look at the fact that Europe through Australia, through Asia, Africa, that this event happened on the 20th for them, you look at the female number. Two is the feminine side, right? And one is the masculine. So we have both of those numbers activated even on those 2 days. And then for the other number that was activated is the number of love. And that is the number of ultimate love, unconditional love, the destination number, which is the number 9, the number of the humanitarian, right? So this number of love was triggered in several ways. First of all, Mars is stationed at 9 degrees as we speak right now, and so the actual turn of direction happened as the number 9 was magnified for Mars. So here we have the planet of virility and forward movement merging with a number of unconditional love in Libra. Now that storyline in itself is one that can be written about extensively because of what it will mean for us and for our relationships going forward from now on. We also have the moon at that moment where Mars turned direct. The moon was at 9 degrees in Aquarius. So again, the number 9 was triggered for us. And also Jupiter is currently at 18 degrees in Cancer, and 1 plus 8 equals 9. So we have an additional 9 triggered as well. So for me, when I look and delve deeply into this code of the 19, 10, 1, and the 9, and the other ones that are around, which the Sun was at 28, 10, 1 degrees, and like I said, Saturn was at 19, 10, 1, and we also have the moon nodes at 28, 10, 1. Practically every planet was at either 1 degree or 9 degrees. And the other planets that were not were also at very interesting numbers as well, which I will not go into. But when I look at this actual storyline between the number 1 and 9, or the number 19 and 9, we see definitely a merging of qualities that have been really building up for the last few decades and were triggered in the 2000s when we moved into the twos, the millennia of the twos. And the twos, of course, being the two sides, the actual male and female sides, right? The balance of both, the left and right brain, the left and right hemispheres. So all of that is being joined in peace as we continue to expand on our relationships, as women find the masculine and balance the masculine and female, and the men get triggered in a beautiful way. And that's what Mars is doing specifically for men right now. There is a beautiful awakening amongst men that happened as a result of this actual code being released yesterday. So it really is something to watch. I want you to actually take this information, find it in your respective charts, see where 9 degrees Libra is in your charts, in your clients' charts, see where 19 degrees Aries is in your charts, in your clients' charts, because it will give you a good idea of where the storyline will take place for you and your clients. Where is this amazing merging of masculine and feminine in the most divine and in the most earthly way? Where is this happening? Where is it being triggered the most? And also you can really read into the attractor factor as well in terms of the sexual attraction for your clients. You know, if there was a point in your chart that was activated yesterday with these two placements, you'll want to really look at that. You can look at it even with your with partners in between, you know, one chart and another when you do a compatibility analysis. So anyway, it's a very in-depth subject when you're dealing with Mars and Venus, and that's why books have been written about it, of course. And you know, with us being in a very introspective seven universal year, it's a fabulous moment to really take some time and look at how we are attracting deep, intimate friendships into our life. Because really, this does not just cover the intimacy, the sexual relationships, you know, the partnerships. It covers business partnerships and close friendships as well. So any relationship that's very deeply supportive of you is activated by this actual event. And let me finally say that it took place, amazingly enough, in the seventh and first house in the universal chart. So if you cast the universal chart for the moment that Mars goes direct, which happened at 2:40 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time on May 20th, you will see that Mars is in the seventh house of intimate relationships and marriage, and Venus is in the first house of us, you know what we are, how we feel. So it's amazing when you look at the numbers, because Venus is at 19-1 in the first house, and Mars is at 9 degrees of love in the seventh house of intimate relationships. So there's a lot of spiraling to do here with this event, and like I said, it will have an effect on you for a while. So you want to spend a little time looking at your own chart and your client's charts if you're doing readings for the next few months, and just you know, take that into consideration as you're speaking to them. Okay, so that is that. Let me see if there's anything else. Yes, I do want you also to pay attention to where Aries, Taurus, and Libra are in your chart. Like, look at those houses, and also look at your first, second, and seventh houses, which are naturally ruled by Aries. Aries rules naturally the first, Taurus the second, Libra the seventh. You want to look at what's going on in those houses natally for you, and also in terms of what's going on in your forecasting, in your transits, progression, solar arcs in those houses. Okay? So that's a lot of homework, and should be fun, because it's always fun to see how things are affecting you and your partners, and of course loved ones. You know, it's a fantastic way to gauge where people are at. So then I want to move on to Rayora's question. She has a couple good questions today. And if you're on the call and have a question, why don't you get in line now? Press star 6 so we can get to you, make sure we cover everything. Star 6 will get you in line, and then I can also pull up your chart real quick if you do have a question about how something is affecting you right now, okay? So let's start with Rayora's two questions. She asks, do we draw aspects to the natal chart from the progressed ascendant? Let me say that again. Do we draw aspects to our natal chart from the progressed ascendant? Okay, so Rayora, as usual, you are a step ahead here. This is very advanced forecasting, this question, and it's something that I have not covered yet. Forecast Formula covered the rudimentary overall forecasting that is necessary from many different perspectives in terms of astrology and numerology. Using progressed ascendant, yes, it really does have an effect, and you know, it's one of those more deeper interpretations. So if you find where your progressed solar arc, where your progressed ascendant, excuse me, is in your chart at any given time, and does it, if it touches any of your natal planets, especially by square, conjunction, by opposition, by sesquiquintile, and by sesquiquadrate, you will really you will know that there is a definite quickening of events here. Did I say sesquiquadrate? I didn't mean that. By the 45 degrees, semi-square. So semi-square, sesquiquintile, conjunction, opposition, and square. Those are the five that are really intense. And so, Rara, I'm going to just mention for you right now, which I'm sure you know, you do have the progressed ascendant squaring or about to square, getting close to Venus and Saturn in your chart. So that is definitely an activation. So let me tell you now what happens. It's a much deeper, long-term effect. So what happens is these contacts really activate key developmental time frames in your growth, okay? So they are very influential in the deeper growth. So looking at where especially the natal planets are, but also you want to see where the progressed ascendant is, which house is it, which sign is it. Obviously, it'll be in that sign for quite a long time. So the house is important, though, as well. So for Urawa, it's in the fourth house, and the two planets that it's aspecting by square are in the seventh house. So you happen to have a lot of planets in that seventh house, so you'll often have activations of that house just by virtue of having so many planets there. So, of course, that is the intimate relationship house that we just spoke of in terms of the Mars direct action that just happened, right? So there's a lot that would be happening for you in that regard because you have this additional movement now from your progressed ascendant moving towards Venus. And Venus, of course, is the symbol of our intimate relationships in astrology. And so it is definitely an important time for you to look at how you feel because of the ascendant is where are you in this? Where are you feeling about your home, fourth house issues, your relationship? How does it fit in with your inner growth? How are females in your life supporting you? Are there certain females who you don't feel at home with right now who you want to release? And are there others that you want to invite in because you are changing? So there's a shift going on with you. These can also be females in your home. It can involve a female parent, so that would be the mom, because the fourth house does rule your parents, and the seventh house has your Venus. So, and then we're later on, it'll be very much involved with your Saturn in that seventh house. So that's a whole nother reading there. But you get the idea. It's definitely about a deeper, stronger developmental time frame here. See, right? It's going to be a few years that we're talking. So yes, the answer is yes. I also, though, want you to pay attention to the solar arc ascendant, not just the progressed ascendant. The solar arc ascendant is, as you know, we discussed in Future Forecast Formula, very important. So you want to always look at those arcs as well. Okay, so speaking of solar arcs, question number two from Ryora is, when planets are conjunct in the solar arc chart, so when two solar arc planets, I'm presuming that's your question, when two solar arc planets are conjunct in the chart, does it indicate a blended energy as with transits or not? Well, you are asking a very, very advanced question because we're talking literally about planets that have been, you know, arced ahead of time to the age you are now, to 2014 in May. And you happen to have, which I presume is why you're asking the question, you happen to have two planets that are conjunct at 27 degrees in Mars. In Scorpio. Looks like a big M. That's why I said Mars. Scorpio. The actual, you know, picture of Scorpio looks like an M. So I said Mars. So anyway. In Scorpio, you have Venus and Saturn at 27 degrees conjunct. These are solar arc planets, both of them, arcing each other at 27 degrees. Yes, you know, the numbers are the story here. The numbers are so important. When you have an activation, a magnification of one number that lasts a year, which it does in solar arc, you would be very much affected by that number. Now for you, your Venus recently entered 27 degrees and your Saturn has maybe a month or two more left at 27 degrees. So right now is the moment for you that you are really feeling this 27. Again, what is 27? It is a 9. It is about unconditional love. It ties into the seventh house in many ways, of course. though unconditional love does encompass, of course, everyone in you're in touch with. But in this regard, because Venus is in your seventh house and because Saturn is in your seventh house, you always want to see, well, where are the planets in natally for me? And for you, where are those two natal planets are in the seventh house? So it reflects back in that regard as well, right? So, yes, that would be important. And does the conjunction have a greater effect on your chart? Well, it does in the house that it takes place in, once you've discovered what the number means. The house placement is important. It is the ninth house, and we're at 27.9 degrees, so there's a hint for you. Also, it would, of course, if that 27-degree placement in Scorpio had any important aspect to any of your planets in your natal chart, which it does. You have 28 degrees Jupiter in Aquarius, which is exactly, 90 degrees square away. So you want to really, really pay attention to that, because with a double whammy like this, you have some tremendous opportunities here, Jupiter being the opportunity planet. It's in the 12th house of the unseen, the mysteries, the divination arts. So I see some absolutely wonderful developments for you with this magnification of the solar arc conjunction. So, and yes, it is a blended energy, to answer your question. The energies blend because the planets are together. So you would have the meaning of Saturn, responsibility, right, and order, merging with Venus, joy, relationships, beauty, right? So these two are joining. So the responsibility of taking your happiness seriously, which sounds a bit strange, but that's what we're saying here, all in the name of unconditional love. Venus also rules wealth, so this is wonderful for you. And so, yes, I the question, again, was very advanced, but I hope this little reading I gave you on your own chart, which is the best way to learn, of course, helped you with, the actual effects of such a position. So, okay, so let's get to some questions. Again, if you have a question, get in line, press star 6, and we can get that answered on today's call. So let me go first to, we have, I think this is Jen. Hello?
Hello, yes, that's me. How are you?
Hello. We speak again.
Yes, we do. On a very different day. Somehow the energy feels so different today.
Yes, it is. Actually, I find it a lot calmer today than yesterday.
Go ahead.
For me it is, at least. I mean, everybody, experiences it differently. But okay, so what is there a specific question as to what I talked about, or something brand new here?
Well, it is about, actually, my question is about my chart. When I'm looking at, for instance, I'm looking at, and I don't, I'm still a baby with all of this stuff that's doing
that's
all
okay.
This.
That's okay. Don't worry.
Okay, so I'm looking at, say, with my chart, for instance, I'm just trying to look what I have in Libra here. I actually have.
Are you looking at your natal, or tell me what you're actually looking at?
I'm looking at my natal chart. Well, not my, I'm looking at the bi chart with my chart, natal, and yesterday. So with
the Mars event. Okay, so let me get that
event
up for you.
And it's in my chart with a 503 this time. So.
Okay, so let me get Jen up. Make sure that I have this in front of me. And you're wanting to look at the actual Mars event, so let me create that.
Well, it can be Mars or, I think just what's going on generally, I think some of these planets
exactly
are kind of slow.
So,
the Uranus, since I am, I'm 58, so Uranus is coming to my... And Venus is right there right there as well. And
I've got you up. So tell me, so you just said you're 58, right? Just turned 58.
Yeah.
So it's not only the Saturn return, right? Tell me what you were saying. It's not only Saturn return, but something to do with...
Saturn return, but also because Uranus is going to be hitting my midpoint thing there going.
Right. Is it the sun-moon midpoint that you're talking about?
No, the point that, what's the line that runs across? Sorry, I don't
know. Oh, the ascendant.
The ascendant.
Yes, so, Uranus will be at your ascendant. But that's not happening yet. It's Uranus is still in your 12th house here, the beginning of the 12th house. But, yeah, that will be a major event as well, absolutely. The Saturn return is very, very important. You know, that's something that's already, well, no, it hasn't happened. It's about to happen. And because your Saturn is right at the beginning of Sagittarius. So you will start feeling it by the end of the year, but definitely next year. You know, that's, it happens in December for you.
Mm, yeah.
That's when Saturn leaves Scorpio. So that's really, really important milestone for everybody. Just like age 28 to 30 is a milestone, 58 to 60 is a milestone. So that's aside from everything else that's going on right now. So, but is your question also related to yesterday, right? What happened in that event, looking at where Mars is for you?
Yes, yes. Looking at that whole placement. Because
Mars, for you right now is at the cusp. It's right at the end of the fifth house. So this whole event that we've had with Mars going forward and retrograde and forward again has happened in the fifth and sixth house for you. So once Mars crosses that border into that cusp into your sixth house, you will feel definitely your work taking a priority, your work environment and your health, right? Mm-hmm. So that would involve everything from people that you work with, employees, anything related to your environment at work, and taking care of your health, any health regimen that you want to shift or change or deal with. And it's good to have Mars in that house because it fires you up to get things done. It will give you, it will light the fire under you. If the fire has been sort of slow lately because of the whole, long sojourn of Mars going back and forth in Libra, it will fire up. I mean, a lot of my high-end clients have been feeling a little bit of a lull the last couple of months because Mars went retrograde on March 1st. And so this change now, which has just taken effect, so you won't necessarily feel it, right away, though you can. It absolutely can because it is moving forward again. You will experience that particular experience in your sixth house of work. So if you're looking for more work, you're looking for more action regarding your business, that's where it's going to feel. That's where you're going to feel it.
All right. Yeah, that's good. I've already started to feel the shift and moving. I felt myself moving forward, but...
Good. Yeah, you're doing the names right now. You're focusing. See, any energy you put into your work, because Mars is energy, so if you actually use that focus energy towards what it's showing you are meant to, your work, you will be able to take advantage of this next period, right? Because it's not going to be long. Mm-hmm. Remember, Mars usually is only in a sign for 6 weeks. So this is a pretty fast-moving planet. So you want it in the next 6 weeks. 6-7 weeks, really, really pay attention. I mean, actually, it'll be longer for you because Mars doesn't enter Scorpio till, I believe, the end of July. So you'll have a little extra time. But still, it's not like it's going to be 6 months. It's now, right? So take advantage of that now.
Yeah, no, I feel it. That's good. Okay, and then Venus. What's the story with Venus?
Yes. Okay, so Venus is in your 12th house. Currently in your 12th house.
Yeah.
So this activation happened in that house for you. It is obviously opposite the 6th because Libra and Aries are opposite signs. So the significance for you is that your ascendant is Taurus. It is ruled by Venus, and you are a Taurus. So your sun sign is ruled by Venus. And so anything that affects Venus, which yesterday did, would have a big effect on you. In this case, it's a more personal and spiritual effect. It's not necessarily related to relationships, though it can be because Venus does rule that. But because your sun is in the first house and your ascendant is Taurus, which is your birth sign, so you have a double, you know, first house magnification here, and Venus is in the 12th house currently, the 12th and first house are the ones for you to pay attention to. So that would be deeply spiritual matters, subconscious stuff coming up, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's in relation, though, to your relationship. So you just keep that in mind, because the whole message with this event was, well, how do you feel about your intimate relationships? You know, what is it that, do you have a blockage there, or, you know, is there something that you want to experience? Is there more, do you want to have more fun? You know, whatever. Do you have a new idea about how to even approach intimacy? Do you feel, some people are really sensing that we have more than one soulmate. There is no such thing as only one soulmate, right?
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
And even sometimes we can experience them concurrently, which sounds very odd. But remember, time is an earthly thing. But really, timelessness is, means that we can experience everything at once. So it opens up. Like I said, it goes very deep, and it opens up a lot of deep questions for all of us about intimacy and relationships. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, totally. That makes complete sense to me. And I was just wondering, because somebody told me, he was a psychic, that I was going to have the passionate affair or something in July. And I'm like, well, maybe that's possible. I don't know. But,
well, anything's
I guess,
possible. And you certainly are passionate because you are... By virtue of Venus and Mars being in this, you know, big event that I just discussed, you are triggered. So any Taurus will be triggered. I'll just put it that way. Okay. So, and this is a few months here, and we're not just talking now. We're talking in the next, you know, the pretty much the rest of the year. You're going to feel a change in your attitude. And in order to experience it, Jen, you have to have it happen to you. You can't just experience an intimate affair without having a partner, okay? So when I said those things before, what I was saying is just be clear what you want to attract, right? Okay, so...
I'm ready. Yeah, I'm totally ready. I mean, you know, I feel like I've been going through so much stuff, letting go of so much stuff that I would feel like, you know, this is the next step. You know, I can feel it shifting. You know, I think... You know, all these numbers, what they speak to is that exposure, or like you were saying, you know, being at that number 19, it really is about speaking the truth as a female, right? Without being afraid. Without being afraid of what's going to come back from that male energy, which has been like, you know, we've kind of been in that space for a long time. So it's very freeing too.
Very freeing. It's very interesting you bring this up, because to me it's also about just purely freedom, just to be free, to be yourself, not to worry about what society expects of females this way or that way or whatever way. Just be Jen Duchenne and just do what feels good. Do not even worry about any social norms. This is what it really means to me on a deep level. So because the social norms we've put in place have not been put in place by people that you may want to look to advice for regarding these matters.
Hasn't been put in place by people who want us to have fun.
Well, they have not been put in place by people who want to have fun. Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. You summed it up there. In fact, because they didn't have fun, they put them in place.
Yeah, exactly.
You see what I mean? Anyway, we can go have a long talk about that. But you see what I mean about just you experiencing that joy and not worrying at all about what anybody else, you know, thinks or feels about you, because that's true freedom then. Then you are truly free, because you're not beholden to anything. You're just following your heart, you're following your intuition, and that, by the way, will trigger your abundance like anything else. I mean, nothing will trigger abundance more than when you feel free to do what you want to do. So
it's a beautiful combination. Mm-hmm. That's great. I have one more question. Somebody was asking me about Pluto, and I was trying to look at it. Pluto in July, I don't get it. What is Pluto doing with the sun, or how does that work? There's something happening in July when Pluto is... What is Pluto...
What's Pluto doing in July? Well,
yeah, posing.
Can you sort of guess by looking? I mean, the sun is opposite Pluto in July.
Yeah.
So right around 4th of July, actually, right on 4th of July, the sun will be opposite Pluto. I mean, it's a big deal because we have the square activated between Pluto and Uranus when this happens, right? I will go into that more when it comes to July. But that gives you a hint. You can cast a chart for 4th of July and check it out.
4th of July, kind of have a feeling about what it is. But I was just curious because doesn't the sun oppose Pluto more than, I mean, at least once a year, right? I mean, the sun
yes. And because we have this square between Pluto and Uranus going on, it's a little more potent when it gets triggered like this, right? So, if you look at the other storyline around that time, you can see why, you know, it may have been more potent this year than 2013 or 2012 when that square was active as well. So, yeah, there's always a bigger storyline as well, to give you an idea.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's good.
And plus, Pluto will be at a certain degree sign, and that matters. The numerology matters as well, which the astrologers won't know. They won't know to look at that necessarily, most of them, so...
Yeah, that's good. The fourth. No, I heard it's going to be like a major shift. So I just wanted to find out.
Yeah, like I keep saying, what happened in April is not over. It was the beginning. And so the April event involved Pluto and Uranus. And so from now on, when those two planets are triggered in any other configuration, which they will be at that point in July, that whatever happened for you in April is going to, go deeper. So that's why it was so important to pay attention to what changed for me in mid-April, early May. What happened? Who did I meet? What did I, what did I attract? What changed? What discoveries did I make? What decisions did I come to? Or what brand new ideas came to my head? You want to just pay attention to all of those because, if you don't, then it'll be harder for you when things become more dramatic again with the planets. If you did, then actually you have tremendous growth spurts and expansion in your life. You see? So, again, it's how we handle the energy that matters. It's not that the energy is negative or positive, and this is really the biggest message that I have is to know about it, first of all, and then to take advantage of the energy in the way that that appears in your life at the time that you experience it. So to pay attention and then to take it and to make lemonade out of it,
that's good. So what I'm thinking is that we can actually go back to the chart, our chart, cast a chart from that day, and just looking at the numbers, get the bigger picture of what was in store
absolutely
for us.
Your clients, and what you can do with your clients, you can say to them, look, I can see this in your chart. Let me ask you, what was going on in your life in mid-April, end of April, early May? Because this is what I see. Can you just let me know? If you're dealing with an issue down the road, let's say this summer, this is how you then start the storyline and the conversation with them, and, you can get further insights. So,
that's great. Fabulous. It's very exciting stuff. I love it.
It's never ending.
The numbers are magic. There's so much they're telling us. It's just quite insane.
Yes. Yes. Great. Well, thank you for your questions, Jen.
Thank you. That was very insightful. I appreciate it.
Great. Okay. Well, have a good rest of your May, and we'll talk again, I'm sure, in June.
Yes. Sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Okay, let's go to, let's see here. This is Anonymous.
Oh, hello, Tanya. It's Annette.
Oh, hello, Annette. How are you?
very good. I just thought I'd call in because the last two callers were really great. And I found that quite helpful, actually,
you mean with Jen and Raya. The call?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I was looking at my chart because I'm going through quite a bit of shifting. And so I found it very helpful just listening to Jen's with the 19, because I have 19 on the cusp of with Aries on my...
Ah, oh, my gosh, you do?
Yes, and I'm feeling it. I am feeling it more than I felt it in April, actually. So I'm really feeling it at the moment.
Oh, that's
so,
because you were literally numerologically triggered, right?
So I picked up from Jen's call, really, it's I've really got to look more at what I want for myself and feeling free about what I'm doing, you know, with my work. It usually relates to my work, I suppose, for me, my career and work.
Right. Well, a lot of these, I have to say, though, you know, what relates to your work does also come up for you personally.
Yes, I mean, yeah, I suppose that's true.
It's very important that that connection is made, because when we don't deal with things on a personal level, it will affect us in our work.
Okay.
You know, so, but I just opened up your chart.
There's quite a bit there lining up, really, when I look at it. Yeah.
Okay, so let me just get the current. Okay, there we go. All right, so what were you were mentioning your ascendant, you're talking about your second house, is it 19 degrees Aries?
Yes.
Ah,
yeah.
Right.
Is that called the cusp of the first and second, or is that just, that is the second?
It's the cusp of the second house, yeah.
Okay.
Because
okay,
we're going counterclockwise, if you notice that these signs go counterclockwise, right?
Yes.
So we're moving through the chart counterclockwise as the planets move through it. So
the
cusp of each house is at the beginning of that counterclockwise motion.
Okay.
So that, in this case, would be where your 19 degrees Aries is. That's the cusp of your second house. And that's exactly, of course, where Venus was.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Yesterday when we had this event with Mars. So for you, of course, you would feel that, because any time it happens on the on any cusp or angle, of course, or the beginning of a sign, even, right? If it's it's the beginning of a sign for you, that is important. So yes, and then we have Uranus right there as well, about to enter your second house. So yeah, your second house issues are going to be very much part of this experience. And it's good. I mean, Venus is in that house now. This is very, very nice for you. Mars is in your seventh house, which is relationships. So,
yeah, okay. It's just I'm finding it's really my nervous system. I'm really having to watch my nervous system. Just
what are your numbers? What are your three important numerology numbers?
6, 9, and 9.
6, 9, and 9. Okay. And what year are you in right now?
I'm coming to the end of a 9 year.
12 and 7.
Yeah, I'm really feeling that too. So I've got a few more weeks to go.
That's what it is. You're at the end of a 9 year cycle. Okay, so here's, let me just tell you two things very important for you to remember.
Okay.
You have a double energetic realignment going on. Number one, you're about to approach your birthday, and so it's within that six-week period that gets so intense. I spoke a bit about this yesterday in Numerology Academy. So you're releasing what needs to be released that needed to be addressed during this past year, right, during this six-week period for your birthday. At the same time, you're ending your nine-year cycle, which is a whole year of release. So it's a doubling of, you know, if you're feeling this kind of pressure, which is sort of can feel that way a little bit, right, where you feel pressure and you're not sure why, and it's because there's something that needs to still be addressed. And that by addressing it and really taking the time to do that, you will then move through the pressure. And by the time your birthday comes, you will be released and can really, really start that new cycle in a brand new way, in a good way, right? In a way that allows forward momentum instead of indecision, which you don't really want when you start a 1 year. You want to really feel fresh and a rebirth kind of feeling. But in order to feel that, you have to release. So if there's anything that you feel that you need to address, change, things that you're not sure were done correctly or need adjusting in some way, you want to do that now. Throwing out old clothes and feng shuiing your life basically on every level. So
okay, all right.
Yeah.
I have started, but I'm probably not doing it very fast, but still, that's okay.
Thing about where you are is it's getting close to the coldest time of the year, right, in New Zealand?
Yeah, yes, it is.
Yeah, so it's a good time to go within and really experience that when it's winter, when we're getting close to winter and the end of fall, is a wonderful time to go deeply and have within for that spiritual connection, you know. So it's actually a beautiful moment for you, I think, to do this.
All right, yeah. Okay. And I notice, just for interest, in June when that full moon, is that right on my MC? I don't know if it's the same. Should be the same. At 22 Sagittarius. Will that have any meaning or just...
Yeah, I'm just looking where that is for you. Oh, it's right on 22 Sag for you?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Oh, my gosh. That's your midheaven.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Okay.
So that's happening in your birthday month.
Yes, just before my birthday.
Wow. Okay. That, you're right. It's happening the 13th. You're born the 15th.
Mm.
Okay. Major. This is really, really powerful because, again, you are changing cycles from, you know, your nine-year event is ending, right? A nine-year extended event is ending for you. And that's always a major turning point.
Sure is, yeah.
And so with the full moon happening literally on your midheaven at to the very degree, 22 degrees in Sagittarius, that is a cause for celebration, I would say, because it indicates a major transition for you in your work. So, and because it happens, see, the symbolism has to be understood here. It's happening at the beginning, at 2 days before your new nine-year cycle begins.
Okay.
Right. So it's basically saying we are shining the light on your career for the next 9 years. The moon is full.
Right.
The light
is
full. It's shining on your career sector in your chart at 22 degrees. Lots of work. 22 is work. You know, it's the four. But it's also the bringer of peace and culmination. And it's a master number. So there will be tests and trials. But it is very, very potent. And so really... If I want to be really go deep with this, I would say to you that this moment of your career sector will be most activated during the next 9 years because of this event of the full moon.
Oh, great. Okay. And I don't mind hard work. I'm good at that.
Yeah, good. So if you have already felt that this is what you want to activate on an even stronger, deeper level, meaning your career, your standing in the world, your position, that's good. Just really make sure you focus on that if you want to take advantage of it over the next 9 years.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fabulous. Oh, that's a help, actually, because that'll get me finishing things before I get to that point.
Yes, exactly. I like that you said that. Very good. You have 3 weeks.
Of course.
3 or 4 weeks, right?
That's my aim, yes. Okay.
Good.
Sets a goal. Thank you so much. That's
You're
a great
welcome.
Help. And I'm good really morning. Enjoying I'm enjoying when you go over what's happening with the planets and everything for the month. And that's a really big help, I find, on these calls. It's really helpful.
Oh, good.
So
yeah.
I appreciate that. Mm.
Oh, I'm glad. Yeah, that's a lot of fun to do.
Yeah.
And I know I didn't do it for June this time because I wanted to focus on this event we just had.
Oh,
but I will go into the June events on our next call, which literally will be right after that full moon we just spoke about. So, but yeah, thank you for that. That's great. And it's good to have you And I'd love for you to, you know, ask more questions, you know.
Yes, I will look at doing more. Thank you.
Yeah, good.
I will.
All right, Annette, thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, so then we have 817 area code. Hello?
Hi, Tanya. This is Angelica. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, Angelica?
I'm doing just fabulous. I'm really enjoying the forecast, and I'm so glad I joined even if it was late, but I have a question, and I don't know how to call it because I'm so new, and I don't even have my chart in front of me because I was at work, and I remembered about your call, so I ran out to listen to this.
Well, let me pull it up. I'll pull up your chart.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I know how you talk about those distinct numbers. I had the 17, and that I recall I probably had 2, and I think it was close to the 7th house and 11th house.
Okay, let me
something
just pull
like
up
that.
Your chart.
I can't remember.
17.
Okay.
17.
Those critical numbers.
Okay. Let's see. I don't see, where's that 17? I don't see that in your chart.
You don't see it close
see
to 16. Yours, the 5th or the 7th house?
Okay, the 7th house has your Mercury at 7 degrees and Jupiter at 9 degrees and Mars at 11 degrees. So, and they're all conjunct in Taurus. So that's a very, very powerful conjunction there in your 7th house. I do not see a 17 degrees, so I cannot answer to that right now. I'm not sure where you're getting that. Now, this is the chart. You're born at 4:30, right? In
right.
4:30.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, this is the chart I have for you.
Okay.
So
I didn't have any critical numbers in that area?
Well, 17 is not a number that you would say is a critical degree.
Oh, okay.
Let me see.
So
yes, actually it is for one of the signs. I'm sorry, what am I saying? 17 is a critical degree in the mutable signs. So but I don't see.
No, you don't see it.
You having that. Yeah. And by the way, having or not having a critical degree is not going to show success or not. It's really not a matter of that. I remember that the example I gave with the Aries points, those are actually more powerfully associated with position and power. You know, I looked at Prince William, I believe, in Future Forecast Formula.
Mm-hmm.
So those Aries points are, and this is why the Cardinal Grand Cross was so big, because it touched on the cardinal signs. The Aries points are all cardinal signs, right? So remember those, they're the four cardinal signs, and they're between 28 degrees and 2 degrees, right around the cardinal signs. Right?
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
for you, let me just look. Do I see any of that? Your sun is at 1 degree Gemini. That's not an Aries point. What you do have at an Aries point, you do have something that is actually very important, and that is your moon's nodes are at 2 degrees. In Cancer and in Capricorn. So that is an Aries point, and so that is definitely indicative that your relationships, now this is, could be business or personal, are very, very important in your life, both, you know, across the board. The people you meet that can have a huge, almost karmic destined impact on your life. So there's definitely a magnification of that point. It's at 2 degrees, which is about relationships. It is an Aries point in the two cardinal signs there. So anytime you have an aspect that touches those, it's going to trigger that for you. You know, whether it's transits, progression, solar arcs. You want to watch that the moon's nodes that you have.
Okay. Now, because I mean, you were talking about April, And in April, it really affected my career, the media and connecting with strong leaders. Would that be something that would be enhanced in July, you would say?
Okay, let me pull that up for you. Hold on. I was looking at your natal chart. And let me see here what's going on with you. Okay. So for you, the big event that just happened occurred, yes. I mean, you're looking at Mars is in the sixth house for you. You a very similar chart to Jen. You also have Taurus as your ascendant. Here, hold on one sec. Let me just make sure. Let me do one thing here. You know, I'm just realizing something. I pulled up your chart, and I believe the Numerology Academy chart that was sent, for some reason, when is your birthday? It's Friday, May 22nd, right?
Yeah, May 22nd, born at 4:30, 1964.
Okay, let me just check one thing here. I just want to make sure this is correct before I do your little reading. Okay, yep. So the chart that was put, I don't know what happened, but I believe you're born in AM instead of PM. Is that correct?
Uh-huh, I was born AM. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know the chart, the Numerology Academy chart, the one in, that's the one I was just looking at that I was talking to you about? That one says PM.
Oh, okay.
But your actual chart is AM, so... So I'm now looking at the correct chart. So
okay, we need
to get that. I'm going to get that corrected for you because that, and I'm sure the charts you've been working with have been correct if you cast your own chart, right? So you're okay on that front. But what I just said before, you can disregard. Don't, because the actual nodes are still the same. 4:30 a.m. 4:30 p.m. does not matter. The nodes will not change. So that part is all correct. Thank God. But the actual numbers question you asked me, I now have to relook at because you do have the moon at 17 degrees in Libra. That is not a critical degree, though. Libra is a cardinal sign, and the 17 degree only is in the mutable signs. Okay, so you have to make sure that you look at what sign it's in, not just the number. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, your question now about April. So let me go back to this other chart. Yes, you're very similar to Jen. You have Mars in the sixth house, so everything I told Jen applies to you. Sixth house issues, work environment, lots more work, energized by work. You know, that's you, okay? So, and Mars will be in that house for you, just like with Jen, until August. So July is definitely huge. I mean, it's major. You're going to feel a lot of movement the next, you know, months, 2.5 months in this house. Is that something you're looking to implement something during that time? Okay, yeah, so that's a good time.
Yes, okay.
It's a very, very good time for you. Yeah, and you must be feeling it already now because Mars is now more moving forward. So I'm sure you're starting to feel more energized and excited about what's coming up.
Oh, yeah. Yes. So anything that relates to events or launching something, that would be a perfect time, right?
Yeah, it's very, very good. Now, we're just looking at Mars right now. I want to make sure that we're looking at everything. So in terms of launching, you're born 5/22, so 9. You just had your birthday or you're about to. Happy birthday.
I'm about to. On the
happy
22nd.
Birthday.
15 years old, and I'm proud.
Okay, awesome. So you're in a 16-7 year, and so July will be a 23-5, which is definitely, if this is an online event, 23-5 rules media, right? It's a media number 5, and 23 is Royal Star of the Line, very, very powerful. So, yes, that's a very, very good month for any media launch, right?
Okay.
So what I will say is June is going to be very, very important for you because, let's see here. So you'll be, yeah, because you'll be in a 22 month and your birthday is the 22nd. And it triggers most of your blueprint. So expect June to really have a lot of movement and you know, you'll be growing a lot that month. Really important month.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Okay. Exciting.
Yeah.
Well, good. I'm still learning, but it's good to hear you because that way I can go back and look at what you're saying and reflect on it.
Yes, and I will correct this chart today, the original Numerology Academy chart, and make sure you have that for your records correctly.
Yeah, because I think I didn't put my last name in it also at that time, the first one.
Okay, so there were several issues there. Yeah, we'll
yeah.
deal with all of those, make sure that it's correct here. So, okay, good. Well,
okay.
I'm glad that you were still able to get your call in, even though you had to leave your work environment.
I know. I ran. Okay, well, I will. Yeah, I mean, I was like, I need to. If I couldn't make it yesterday, I have to make it today. So,
that's right. That's the nice thing about
it. I love these calls.
Yeah, and I love that they're right after each other. So sometimes there are questions that come up in Numerology Academy that you can then ask the next day, you know. So,
I know.
Yeah, it's good.
Well, thank you, Tanya, for everything. Yeah. I love it.
You're welcome, Angie. Great. Mm-hmm. All right. So have a happy birthday.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. And then we have a 303 area code. Hello?
Hi, Tanya. It's Rebecca.
Hey, Rebecca. How are you?
Well, my health has been better, but I'm in good spirits.
Yeah, I hear that it's old. Sniffle.
Yeah, it's settled in my chest. I've actually got my Mars is at 9, the current Mars is at 9 degrees right on top of my natal Neptune. And I was looking at, like,
how
in my
that?
Sixth house. Yeah, well,
okay.
I'm dealing with it. I've been staying home the last 2 days, so it's starting to get a little bit better. I'm getting a little rested. But holy cow, my sixth house is just being slammed.
Yeah, well, are you burning the candle at both ends right now?
I might be.
Uh-huh.
Maybe.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, you were saying, let me just look at your chart. I'm just going to open it. Hold on 1 sec here. Get this open. Okay, so let me see. So, yes. Oh, I see. Okay, so your natal Neptune at 9 degrees. Yes, yes, yes. You would have felt this. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Yes, you would be slammed. And you would be slammed spiritually, but you also have to be aware of take time to rest, too. You know,
I've been staying home. I've been sleeping 12. Well, the last 2 days I've called in sick at work, and I've been staying home sleeping 12 hours a night and then taking naps during the day. It's, like, really, really been hard. But I am so ready for this Mars to finish and go through all this stuff. A big sixth house.
Yeah,
it's
you have a huge sixth house. You do.
It's
and
not
going to
clear.
No,
until
not
September.
For a long time. Yeah, it's definitely a long period. But you know what? It's you feel as you know as an astrologer, you feel it even more when it's actually entering the house, which it is right now.
Yeah.
So it recently entered, so you feel it a bit more. Actually, no, we've been going retrograde. So it's been in that house for a while for you. What am I saying? Mars has been, it was ahead for a while. So, well, let me just say that your Neptune at 9 degrees is very much about unconditional love. So you may have had issues in the last few days or week that have come up that have asked you to love unconditionally. And if that was not something that you were able to do, then that's where sometimes the body responds because there's something that's blocked inside of you. And so it's asking you to rest, take time out, and reconsider, well, what is it that I need to look at, right? That's often when we get sick like this, it's a recalibration and an opportunity to just reflect on our life. And so when this happens, especially with the 9 degrees, which is about release anyway, you know, that's what the number 9 symbolizes, is letting go, and loving unconditionally. That is the one of the big, you know, messages. So if you can think of what that might pertain to.
Oh, it's real. It's been real clear. I just got back from an event where I ran into somebody that that there has been a very big issue with, and it's called to resolve that. And I still don't feel resolved. I really don't. I don't know how I'm going to get past it. I just, you know, letting it go and moving on is, I don't know, the only way, I guess. But
so that's probably what it is what you're talking about. I think that's what intuitively what I was getting is there's was something, and because I know from my own life, I can just tell you from my own life that when I happen to get either tired or really need some rest or literally get a cold or something, it's always because there's something that I've pushed through without considering all the angles, right? So I'm forcing the issue either energetically, like I'm working too hard, or I'm not seeing everything in front of me. I'm sort of blinded, right? And so I need time to lie down and really take stock of how I'm handling the situation. And so at 9 degrees, this is about release, letting go, and showing love. And if it seems really difficult for you, it might be worthwhile to reach out to this person, you know, in the best way you can, like putting pride aside and just saying what saying something that actually makes them feel like they can reach out back to you. So it's basically you're extending the olive branch in a way that you feel is you wouldn't have done maybe a week ago, right? So
okay,
that may help. I don't know. But for me, that's sort of what I'm sensing is to be able to move through it.
So when the transiting Mars, which is at 9 degrees Libra right now, gets up to Saturn, which is at 19 Scorpio, it's still going to be in my sixth house.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be, those two are going to be almost conjunct my natal Mars, which is at 22 Scorpio.
Wow, talk about fireworks.
I'm telling you, I am just going to go bury my head in the sand on an island somewhere till all this crap passes. ready.
Okay, so here's, I don't know if you were with me earlier in the call. I'm not sure you were because some people joined a bit late.
I didn't hear the first part, no.
Okay, so one of the things I said was that we are obviously given the luxury of foreknowledge here, right? You just said, okay, this is happening. So the art of interpretation really depends on your attitude towards how you're going to take this energy, because all it is energy. It's not negative or positive.
And take it
and make something wonderful out of it, knowing that, yes, there could be roadblocks and challenges along the way, but the positive side of this conjunction coming up for you, especially since it's in the sixth house, is a lot of fire and taking on responsibility. So it could actually mean something very different than you're thinking. I think you don't want to set yourself up thinking I want to bury my hand in the sand. I would rather say I may at that point attract a client I would have never dreamed of having before then.
Okay.
But because I'm going to have to work extra hard to accomplish that vision, you know, it's going to feel like a huge challenge, because it always does when you step up. You know
from earlier this year,
you've been doing it. It always feels difficult, but it's such an incredible experience. So I think that's going to be another moment for you where there's going to be an opportunity, especially since it is around October. You know, there are a lot of events around that time, or there may be something else, you know, an online invitation or something, you know, something for you to really step up and, you know, take the responsibility there.
Yeah, that conjunction is leaning pretty heavy on my stellium that I've got in Scorpio.
Mm-hmm.
looking at it and like, holy God, there's a lot of stuff going on right there. Plus,
it kind of
triggers the Uranus that is at 21 degrees in Gemini. I mean, something about my chart, when one thing lights, the whole chart lights up.
That's
what it's looking at. So I'm kind of trying to get myself in gear for that, knowing that I'm trying to do that now under, you know, bad health conditions. Hopefully I can get this under, you know.
Yeah, and again, the health condition is just a symptom of something else. So
your
body is the last part of you to speak when it comes to energetic alignment. It's really the final part. So for you, it's a matter of backtracking a little bit and reflecting, and it'll clear up pretty quickly if you do that, you know.
Okay.
I think you'll be fine. I think actually this event, it's very interesting you brought both of these up in this call. I truly believe that how you handle what's happening to you right now will literally set the stage for what's happening then. Meaning put yourself in the position of the other person, see how that feels, just literally do that, like if you can, and then see how that affects how you would respond next time, and that could be you. Do you see what I mean? It's like almost like go to where you don't want to go and explore it and then reach out. And because what you're coming up to here is tremendous responsibility. And that means more high-powered clients. And so depending on how you handle every step of the way before then really will show, well, who are you going to attract, right, as a client in the future? Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's very deep because
it
brings up issues that you don't want to deal with. And
it's tough. I mean, it is. And there's no doubt that, you know, I've got, of course, a lot of it. It's a combination of stuff for sure.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
I know. It always is. It's never just one thing. Which is what our astrology chart shows in abundance.
In abundance. I was going to ask you, what kind of an orb do you give the Aries point? Is it
for what?
I've been looking at just zero. Well, when I'm looking at solar arc charts and all of that, I'm just wondering how much of an. I have been just doing right at 0 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Either zero Aries, zero Libra, and so forth.
No, I do 2 degrees with arcs. I do 2 degrees because you do feel them,
okay.
Especially the first two, the ones, the actual, what do you call it?
In Aries?
No, when the planet is approaching, what is that called again?
Ingress?
Yeah, when it's approaching as opposed to leaving the point. The first 2 degrees. So let's say you've got, this, you know, where's your sun? Your sun's at 29 degrees Taurus. So let's say that at 27 degrees Aquarius, you've got solar arc Saturn, 27. So as soon as it hits that 27:43 minute mark, you're going to start feeling that event. Once it hits 29 degrees 43 in Aquarius, you know, it would be exact. Square at that point, that's obviously the culmination, and then it dissipates, but it still leaves an effect for a while. So that approaching degree is the 2 degrees is really the most important in my mind.
Okay. When it's gathering the momentum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was my original question, by the way, was about the Aries point.
Oh, okay. Was it? Yeah.
That's why I called you.
That Aries
point,
they're important, those points.
They really are. I've been.
That's why this Cardinal Grand Cross was so important, is because it really touched on those cardinal signs. And just the symbolism of the cardinal signs, I love it. You know, it's the four seasons. It's really the anchor of our life on Earth. And it is about action. I mean, notice that Mars is the ruler of Aries. That's the first cardinal sign. And we just had this big Mars event, an important event in Libra, which is another cardinal sign. So, you pull it all together and you weave the storyline, you can see, you know, we're all being activated in a major way this year. Yeah.
Sure.
I know you've been feeling it.
Oh, my goodness. I've actually got my first seven-figure client that I'm doing. Her paperwork is on my desk as we speak. So it's getting
awesome.
Kind of exciting.
I'm
about half to three-fourths of the way through doing the paperwork for her, and hope to get her on a call here this coming week sometime to give her my report.
That is fabulous. See, this is definitely good news. So here's the thing. You're up-leveling. You're reaching higher. And here's what happens. The shit hits the fan. Excuse my English or French.
It really
does hit the fan when you're up-leveling. So this other thing going on with you, deal with it, because otherwise you will stagnate. You don't want to do that right now. Your forward momentum is amazing. You want to keep it going. So this is coming up for you, whatever it was, for you to resolve it. You know, so it really matters more than you might want to know.
I was so wanting just to let it go. I've been communicating with this person via email, and it's not gone well at all. We just are not seeing eye to eye, and very much of a disagreement there. And, you know, I mean, I don't know any other. And I know that part of my immune system is cranky because of all the pressure and stuff that's going on with it. Not to mention I was in the Nevada desert this last weekend with the wind blowing and irritating all of this. Everything. But I know that issue's
gotta resolve. Yeah, you know, we all have our issues, though. I mean, no matter who you are.
Gotta be resolved.
Yeah, exactly. It's worth letting go in the end. If you know, for example, that you're at an impasse, which it sounds to me like you are, then...
It feels like it, yeah.
Right. So at that point, it's like, okay, you know what? Is it worth my life to keep, you know, aggravating over this? Or is it just a lot easier to just, in a way, forgive and forget, to just say, okay, I'm moving on. I understand. We are both looking at this from a different perspective. I respect that now, and I'm going to move on. I had to do that with my daughter's school, by the way. I had a very difficult situation with them. Yeah, I had a very difficult, and I won't go into the story now, but they were completely, in my view, at fault, right? But in their view, they were not. And so I lost a lot of money. And I still get asked about it because Clara is good friends with several students at her former school, so some of the parents occasionally ask me. And I just laugh now about it. Even though it was a lot of money I lost, I have to, because if I had held on to that, I know it would have turned into something, you know, like, you know, physical or whatever. But in the end, I had to say, look, it is what it is. I can understand. I put myself in their position. I said, okay, they're being totally, you know, not going to use the word, but if you really want to, you know, look at it from their perspective in terms of what was written in the contract, yes, they can, you know, deal with it the way they did, even though, you know, it was pretty despicable the way they handled it. But then at the same time, I said, well, is it really worth it to me? The only thing that matters is that I'm resolved and balanced and happy. So I'm going to completely release it. I'm not going to, you know, deal with it anymore and fight it or anything. So I did all I could do on my end to make my life harmonious. And it worked. It totally disappeared. I have no more issues anymore, you know, so I'm not in bed at night, you know, wondering, you know, why this didn't happen or why this should happen, basically. Why didn't this and why should this, you know, why didn't they see that? And I'm not doing that at all. I haven't thought about them until I just thought about it now in your situation. And that's what you want. You want to be completely free of that guilt.
Of the thoughts.
Thought,
well, I know energetically what that does. And then all of a sudden here this person was physically in front of my face again. And I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah, that just shows it wasn't resolved. I mean, if you can't face them, you know, that's the hardest thing, to be face-to-face with the person you had a major issue with, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can hold your head high and still smile and still say, and still feel, you know, if you can't do that, let's just put it this way, if you can't do it, you know there's still something for you to look at. Because really, it's not up to them to make you feel at peace. It's up to you to make you feel at peace. It has nothing to do with them. You know, they have their life to deal with. You have your life to deal with. So whatever issue you may still have is really between you and you. And if it means, which it sounds like to me, extending some kind of, you know, communication that allows for harmony, then I think you may feel, once that's sent, a lot more free, you know. In the end, you know, money is energy, emotions are energy, guilt is energy, it's all energy. And so how we handle it is up to us, you know, how we handle any disagreement about things is really the art of living, you know. So I just want you to be free to live out this wonderful, very fiery experience, you know, that's happening in your work environment, and to feel like you can do it without holding a grudge, or holding a guilt or holding whatever it is you have, you know.
Well, there was some deception involved. And that was a hard thing to get past. And you know, with the current Mars sitting on top of Neptune, Mars
yes.
being angry yes. emotions, Neptune dealing with deception,
yes.
Libra all out of balance. I mean, it's real clear to me as an astrologer what in the hell is going on here.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make it any easier to deal with. And to just tell somebody it's okay for me to feel deceived over what you did. That's a hard one to get past, you know.
If you really felt deceived, I don't think you need to say that. I think what would be good for you to feel is that you can move on. Like if you let that person know you've moved on, and you see what I mean? So if you totally felt there was deception, you're not saying, oh, I don't mind you deceived me, basically.
Yeah, that's what I'm, I mean,
that's
not
what you want to do. But here's the other thing. You're not talking to them about them anymore. This is what I was trying to say. You're talking to them about you. So you're basically saying, I've moved on, and I am at peace with everything. So I'm not holding anything against you anymore. You know, that's for you. Because, see, it seems to me like you're at a stalemate, and so the only way to deal with stalemates is to let go of them, right? You're not going to want to be in this fight. Why should you fight anything? I mean,
right,
you know, it doesn't make sense. It's going to affect your life, you know, this conflict.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to affect how you feel, you know, about work that you're going to do in the future with your high-powered clients and with your membership groups and your whatever it is that you start, right? So you
mm-hmm.
want to just really be clear about releasing that, I think. The 9 in the Mars and the 9 in your Neptune, you're always going to have this 9 issue of releasing, letting go, and being the taking the higher road, basically, is what the 9 does, the wisdom. Taking the higher road, and that can be hard when we feel deceived. But, you know, it's important. I didn't speak to my dad for a long time, many, many, many years, more than it's like 12 to 15 years because of how I felt about him. But I reached out to him, and thankfully I did because he died a year after I did this. But I reached out to him, and we actually, you know, I basically swallowed – my hurt, and I swallowed my anger and swallowed what all the things I felt that he had done, right, that were just ridiculous. And I said, look, I basically said to him, I know I played a role, and we both played a role. I basically said that, you know, and I felt it at the time because I know we attract everything into our lives ourselves. And I reached out to him in the last year of his life. We spent time together. So it really was a huge catharsis for me to get over. And this took, you know, obviously many years, you know, because I was younger. It took a long time for me to get over that. But I did it, and I'm so happy I did. I think you will be too. This is not somebody who's a family member for you, I presume. So
right,
it's somebody
right.
who you don't necessarily have to see for the rest of your life. So
that's
you
true.
Can. It's a little easier than it was for me because my dad's my dad. I can't change that. And so, but I think with that perspective, maybe it makes more sense, you know, for you to just like, okay, take that deep breath. you know what I mean? So.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. So good luck with that. And you're cold and moving up and up, you know, so. Now, we're going to see each other next month, and it's going to be a really great time as well. So we can go a lot more deeper at that point as well. But this is, I'm really glad you were on the call, and I think this will be a really cathartic thing for you, especially considering what you just said about your client. I think it's all, there's no coincidences here, you know, what's going on. Yeah.
Definitely big things are moving. It's quite the adjustment.
Yes.
So
good. Well, good luck with that, Rebecca.
Thank you. Thank you, Tanya.
Oh, my best to you with everything. And we will speak, I'm sure, several times next month and see each other so we can catch up then.
Okay.
But sending you good healing energy right now.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
I receive it. Thanks. Bye.
You're welcome. All right. Bye-bye. Okay, so, wow, that was a fantastic series of questions from all of you, and really, really good call today. It definitely, this time we're in, is definitely bringing up some wonderful opportunities for us to grow. I mean, that's all we're doing really anyway, but when we are cognizant and conscious of that growth, it makes it even better, right? Because we're realizing, my gosh, I just worked through this huge issue in my life, and I was able to handle it. And it just gives you a lot of confidence to move forward. And come what may, you're going to be standing tall and able to handle it in the best way you can. So that's the energy we are surrounded with right now, and it's fantastic. It's wonderful, and it can be difficult as we just heard, Obviously, difficulties is when we grow the most. It's really true. You know, when you attract challenges, it's when you are attracting your greatest growth spurt. So it's never a bad thing to look at your challenge, but it's always not, you know, I never recommend running away from a challenge because it will come up later. It'll crop up again and be even more challenging. So you want to deal with them when they come up, when they're in your face, and you know they're there, as opposed to when they sneak up on you and come out of the blue and affect you in a way that you don't want. And that's why I said what I said to Rebecca, because I really feel like this is important. It's important to move through something like this, to set yourself up to be free, completely free. So I look forward again to next month. I believe we are meeting on the 17th, which will be an awesome day in June. And I'll have a lot more to share then, forecasting-wise, as I said. So have a fabulous rest of your May, happy Memorial Day, and a great beginning of June. Lots of love to all of you. Goodbye for now. Bye-bye.